United Methodist Church. We thank God for the gift of this day and hope that our praises will celebrate God's presence with us. Once again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church on this first Sunday of Lent. We're pleased that you're with us, especially if you're here for the very first time. We want to make you feel welcome. So those of us who are here on a regular basis would like to extend a hand of fellowship to you. And if we don't find you and introduce ourselves quickly enough, you find one of us and introduce yourself to you. We're delighted that all of you have joined us this morning. In your bulletin, you will find an insert that has a lot of information about various programs and possibilities going on at the church, ways that you can be involved in what God is doing in and through this church. I'm going to lift up just a few things. First of all, this afternoon at 4 p.m. here in the sanctuary, the chancel choir will present the Salve Regina Mass. It's for choir and two organs. We're one of the few sanctuaries that can accommodate that. It was composed originally for Notre Dame Cathedral, and this is the American premiere of the piece. The featured organist will be Olivier Latrie, and our own Andrew Reisinger will be joining on the balcony organ. So we look forward to that, 4 o'clock this afternoon. And then at 5 this afternoon in Scales Chapel, we'll have our regular Taze service. I know some of you are regulars there. If you haven't, you have an opportunity to experience the music and its beauty here and experience a different kind of music and a quiet and meditative form of worship in the Taze service. That's at 5 in Scales Chapel. The How to Forgive class starts Wednesday at 5:45 in room 320. The all-church lunch is next Sunday following the 11 o'clock service, and it would be helpful if you make reservations. We want everybody to come, but it helps us to plan to have enough food if you let us know you're coming ahead of time. We're not going to exclude you, but just help us plan by making a reservation. It'll be in McWhorter Hall downstairs next Sunday after this service. If you will look in the in Reed Hall, but after the service, you will see a table where our youth will be presenting some information about their 30-hour famine. This is a way of them helping to identify with those persons who don't have a choice about fasting but don't have food available. You can, at the table, see the amount of food that a malnourished child would have available to them to eat and the amount of food that a normally growing child would ordinarily eat. It gives you a sense of why we need to identify with folks who are hungry and also the ways that we can help alleviate that hunger. So I hope you'll stop by and support them at the table. Also, there's a mission trip to Sager Brown, April 28th to May 4th. Sager Brown is the depot where we gather materials for the United Methodist Committee on Relief that are sent around the world when there is some kind of catastrophic event. There are hygiene kits, there are flood buckets, but those have to be all organized, and the folks who go to Sager Brown organize those things. Now, if you don't feel like you can go on a mission overseas, or if you feel like maybe construction would be too strenuous, this is the ideal kind of mission to go on. If you're interested, talk to Sarah McCormick. She has more information about that. God's love surrounds us, and even though we know we fall way short of that love, God's love is still present surrounding us, inviting us to stay and to follow. Thanks be to God.
awesome thing to stand in the presence of God, to call God's holy name.
As far as the heavens are above the earth, God's ways are above our ways.
But we come with confidence, because in Christ we are called to be God's people.
Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before God.
Let us now humble our whole selves as we join together in the prayer of confession. Wise and powerful God,
you have given us your life and truth, guide us through confusion. You have made the lion's head on our human wisdom and have lost our way. You offer to share our burdens and give us your strength.
Through the generosity of God, our confession is heard, and we are forgiven, restored, and equipped to boldly use our gifts in the world. Thanks be to God.
Oh.
of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Randy William Hall Sr. and Elizabeth Walton Hall bring their son, Randy William Hall II, to God before the community of faith for baptism.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Walton and Randy, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord, in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? And now, congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If you do, please say, "We do." And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care?
With God's help,
we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that he may grow in his service to others. We will pray for him that he may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations. Now pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water, both from the Jordan and the Cumberland rivers, and this child before us who receives it today, to wash away his sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. Now, let's see if you'll come to me. Here we go. There. What name is given this child? Randy William. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You all may lay hands on him as well. The Holy Spirit work within you, that being born by water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all your days. Amen. I think we got a new choir member on the way here, huh? Yeah, you got a good voice. Yeah, let's go visit these people so they can greet their new brother in Christ. Look at all those people. They're looking at you. How about that, huh?
Please stand and face Randy William. Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Randy William to your love and care Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Now a lesson from the Gospel according to Mark. Then they came to Capernaum. And when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
And if there are other youngsters who would care to come up and join us, please do so. We'd love to have you come down here. Every week before I get ready and while I get ready to tell the stories in the worship service, I study the Bible with two groups of people, one on Tuesday morning and one at noon on Tuesday. And this past week, on Tuesday morning, I was asking those folks who they thought was the greatest. And they mentioned people like Abraham Lincoln and Martin Luther King Jr. And I said, well, they're great, but who are some of the people you know who are great? And several people mentioned names, and one of the class members mentioned the name of one of my friends, someone I've known for a long time. His name is Malin Minnett, but he just goes by his last name, Minnett. He works at a hardware store, although he had been a chef previously. And what I remember about Minnett is that he is always so helpful, not just in finding stuff at the hardware store, but the way he does it. He does it with such care and such love and to really, really try to help you. Now, in the scripture Stacy just read, Jesus is talking about what it means to be great. Now, his disciples, his students, think that it means you're powerful and you're wealthy and you have a high office and a lot of people look up to you. But Jesus says, no, whoever is great is someone who serves, who does things for other people. That's Minnett. He does things for other people, but he does it in such a loving way that you can see the love of God coming through the way he does his work, even though it's his job. Now, I'm going to tell some other stories in the sermon about people who are great. Some just kind of think they're great, and some really are great by Jesus' definition. Now, I want you to listen and see if you can pick out the ones that just kind of think they're great and the ones that Jesus would say really are great. Because you know what? When you help your parents or your grandparents or your brothers or sisters or your neighbors or your friends, anytime you serve someone and you do good things for them in love, Jesus says, that's great. Let's pray. We thank you, God, for teaching us what it means to be really great. Not the way everybody else thinks of greatness, but the way you think of greatness. Jesus was the one who was truly great, and with your help, we want to be like him in all ways. He served, he helped others, we hope to serve and help others as well. With your help, we believe we can do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for coming down. As many of you know, I am a person who has had a long time interest in poetry. And that started when I was a child. It started with reading children's books of poems. And then when I was in high school, I encountered a poem by Percy Shelley that I'm going to share with you in a minute. Imagine, if you will, that you're wandering in the deserts of the Middle East and you come upon what had been a statue, a huge statue. The only thing still standing are the legs. The torso is gone. The head lies broken and cracked over to the side. And as you get closer, you can see there's something written on it. In the poem, you'll learn what was written on it. Ozymandias by Percy Shelley. I met a traveler from an antique land who said, two vast and trunkless legs of stone stand in the desert. Near them, on the sand, half sunk, a shattered visage lies, whose frown and wrinkled lip and sneer of cold command tell that its sculptor well those passions read, which yet survive, stamped on these lifeless things, the hand that mocked them and the heart that fed. And on the pedestal, these words appear. My name is Ozymandias, King of Kings. Look on my works, ye mighty, and despair. nothing beside remains. Round the decay of that colossal wreck, boundless and bare, the lone and level sands stretch far away. Ozymandias thought he was pretty hot stuff, didn't he? And yet now that statue he erected to himself has fallen into disrepair. Nothing but the legs remain standing. The torso is one on one side. The face cracked on the other. And all you can see of the face is that sneer of cold command. And he was boasting. Look upon these, ye mighty, in despair. It's interesting that in the ancient world, that's the way greatness was defined. Seriously. If you remember in the book of Esther, the king is reading the chronicles of the Medes and the Persians. Actually, he's having it read to him. And he hears in the story about someone who did a favor for him, actually saved his life by breaking up a plot to kill him. And he asks, would we ever do anything for this person? And the reader says, no. And so the king decides that he's going to have this person on a horse led through the streets and someone leading the horse to shout to everyone who can hear how great the person on the horse is, how he saved the life of the king. So, the king calls his chief advisor in, a man named Haman. He starts describing what he's going to do. He says, we're going to put someone on a horse, someone who has done me a great good deed. We're going to put them on a horse. We're going to lead them through the street. We're going to have somebody leading that horse. And they're going to be shouting about how great that person is. Haman thinks it's him. It's not. It's his arch enemy, Mordecai, the guy he despises. And so in a reversal, Haman, the chief advisor to the king, who already thinks he's great, gets to lead the horse on which Mordecai, who is just some Jewish guy there in this kingdom, some exile, and shouting all the way the greatness of his arch enemy. You see, in the ancient world, if you were great, you were expected to tell everybody about it. You were expected to boast about it. I should be up here telling you what a great preacher I am, all evidence to the contrary, notwithstanding, to try to convince you of my greatness. That's what was expected. That's how honor was conveyed. What Jesus does is to take that and turn it completely upside down. You see, as they're walking along here, the disciples are arguing about who's going to be greatest when Jesus comes into his power and his kingdom. And they're defining great the way Haman did, okay? They're the ones who will be led through the streets and everybody will cheer them and everybody will tell how great they are and they'll be able to tell everyone how great they are. And Jesus says, no, you got it wrong. You've got it completely wrong. Upside down wrong. You see, anyone who's great among you will be a servant. And anyone who wants to be the greatest will be the servant of all. Now that doesn't make any sense to them. It wouldn't. In that time, in that place, in that culture, they were looking for Ozymandias. Okay? They had Haman's expectations of glory. Not what Jesus was talking about. I mean, after all, who is greater? The people who sit at that nice restaurant being served wonderful food or the people who are waiting on them? You know the answer to that. It was true then, it's true today. The people sitting at the table being waited on, right? Not according to Jesus. According to Jesus, it's the people who are waiting on the tables who are the greatest. That's where we get the word deacon. The Greek word is diakoneia, It means literally to wait on tables. Jesus takes the expectations of his time and turns them in such a way that the only way you can be great in his eyes is to be of service to others. Like my friend Minnett. He works in a hardware store. But in all that he does, he serves. As much by the way he does it as by the actual actions that he takes. Now, our time is not that much different from those times. Except in those days, they didn't have a 24/7 news cycle to tell us who's the greatest at the moment and sing the praises of those who are rich or those who are powerful, those who are politically placed. I mean, we have that. Nobody has to lead you through the streets on a horse anymore because we invite that into our homes on a regular basis. But Jesus would say, you know what? Those aren't the folks who are really great. You want to look for the really great folks? They're the folks who are out there serving. They're the folks who are out there doing what I told them to do and following the example that I gave them. The most radical example comes in the Gospel of John when he's gathered around the table with his disciples for the last meal they'll have together. And Jesus gets up and takes off his outer garment, ties a towel around his waist, and begins to wash their feet. That's something that a slave does. And so Jesus takes the place of the slave in that household and says, I've done this for you. Now you do it for each other. They're all astonished. Peter is offended by the very idea of it because they still don't get it. Sometimes we still don't get it. And yet, many of you are out there serving. I know you are. I may not know where. Some of you I may know, but there are a lot of you out there serving in ways that I have no idea about. You're feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting the sick, those in prison, clothing those who have no clothing, providing clean water for those who might not have water at all. You're doing that. In 1984, I came to the General Board of Discipleship, and not long after that, I met a lady, a grandmotherly type lady, whose name was Laura McCrae. Many of you may have known Laura. She was the lay leader at Edge Hill United Methodist Church. She was at conference frequently, and she was everybody's grandmother, let me tell you, everybody's grandmother. In 1982, she was fixing a pot of soup for some new staff members at Edge Hill when two homeless guys came by. And having read the scriptures and knowing Luke 14:12, that Jesus said, when you have a party, don't just invite those that can return the favor. Invite those who have nothing and will never be able to return the favor. So she invited the homeless guys to eat with the church staff. Wasn't long after that that she began fixing soup every week and inviting folks in. It was a one-woman project for a while. First there were 60 and then there were 100. She called it Luke 14:12. It still exists. It left Edge Hill for a while. It was at the Belmont Church. Now it's part of the Campus for Human Development. Twice a week they feed over 300 people. All because a grandmotherly type remembered something Jesus had said and decided that her job was to serve not just those in the church, but those outside the church, those who might not be welcomed within the church sometimes. Minnett and Laura McCrae. I bet you can name your own. You could tell the stories from your own experience of those people who have served you, whom you have seen serve, with whom you have served. Jesus would say, these are the great ones among us. Not the ones you see on television, because you know what? For the most part, those folks who are celebrities now won't be remembered in 100 years. But you know what? Neither Will Minnett nor Laura McRae. The difference is, Minnett and Laura McRae didn't do it so people would remember their names. They did it because Jesus told them to do it. It's that simple. They did it because Jesus said to do it, and not only said to do it, he actually did it. Now, in our baptism service, you all renewed your membership vows to be a part of what God was doing in and through this congregation with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, your service, your service, your service. Can you guess what the emphasis is now? And your witness. Now, we have focused on prayer for a time, and we focused on presence and gifts, and now during Lent, we're focusing on service. Why? Because it's a membership vow? No. Because Jesus told us to do it. It's the only reason we need to focus on it. There are folks out here at Open Table. Every week we're going to offer an opportunity for serving, and this week it's Open Table. You can visit with them after this service out in Reed Hall. These folks are trying to disrupt that cycle that keeps people in poverty, that keeps people homeless. They're trying to educate us on homelessness because, quite frankly, if you're not homeless, you don't know much about it. You just encounter folks who may want spare change, and that's all you know. There's much more to it. And to try to help people find stability in their lives. Now, if you feel led by God that this is a part of the way you will serve, come out and talk to these folks at the table out here. There will be someone each week who will be here from whom we can learn about ways we can serve. This coming Wednesday night, they'll be back. Open Table of Nashville will be back. You can have further conversation. I don't know how God is calling you to serve, but I do know that God is calling you to serve. I know that God is calling me to serve. And why do we do it? Because Jesus told us to. There's no better reason. Thanks be to God. Sometimes we affirm our faith with traditional creeds, and occasionally we affirm our faith with the words of Scripture. So I would invite you to stand as you're able. Turn to number 889 in your hymnal. There you'll find a creed based on the words from 1 Timothy. There is one God, and there is one mediator, Christ Jesus, who came as a ransom for all, to whom we testify. This saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, was manifested in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed in throughout the world, taken up in glory. Great indeed is the mystery of the gospel.
West End United Methodist Church welcomes all who gather to worship with us today. And if you are a guest among us, a special word of welcome is extended to you. We hope you will join us for a time of fellowship in Reed Hall, which is through the doors to your right following our worship service. First-time guests who are worshiping with us today are invited to stop by the Bread for the Journey table during our fellowship time, where you will find information about the many ministries of this church, and you will also receive a fresh baked treat. If you are a college student, either undergraduate or graduate, you are invited to meet our student community in Reed Hall following this worship service, and you will eat lunch together. Our college community gathers each week to have faith discussions and fellowship. In the pew racks in front of you, you will find a gray card. And on one side of the card, you may record any comments that you may have for staff or lay leadership. On the other side of the card is a place for prayer requests. We invite you to please indicate if these prayer requests are to be shared with the pastoral staff or to be kept confidential. The card can be placed in the offering plate as they are passed down the pews in a few moments. We invite you to please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the attendance pad down the pew if you have not already done so. As the pad is passed back down the pew, please take note of those who are worshiping with you today and greet anyone that you may not know following at the end of our service. Today we offer our sympathy to several families within our congregation. Our congregation mourns with Andrea and Larry Whitehead, who are mourning the death of Andrea's mother, Marie Shoemaker Alston, who died January the 26th. Services were held in Birmingham, Alabama on January the 29th. Our congregation also mourns with the family of Martin Forrest Parmley, who died Saturday, February the 9th. Services were held here Friday, February the 15th. Among his survivors is his wife, West End member Janie Parmley. Our congregation also mourns with the family of Betty B. Sisk, who died Monday, February the 11th. Services were held Friday, February the 15th. Among her survivors is her daughter, Sarah Sisk. We invite you to prepare your hearts and minds to hear God speak to us as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of the blessed, we praise you for mercy shown, grace given, living water, and the Spirit's power. We ask you for daily strength, hope for tomorrow, your word to guide, and strong feet to follow. The psalmist writes, "Show me your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long." God of the oppressed, we bring to you the broken ones, forgotten ones, exploited and abused ones. Bring freedom and release, love and compassion to damaged hearts and souls. God of compassion, hear our prayer. God of the distressed, we bring to you the grieving ones, hurting ones, suffering and wounded ones. Bring wholeness and healing, comfort and relief to broken bodies and minds. God of compassion, hear our prayer. God of the dispossessed, we bring to you the lonely ones, the homeless ones, thirsty, tired, and penniless ones. Bring hope and sustenance, physical and spiritual food to hungry bodies and souls. God of compassion, hear our prayer. The Lord is good to all, and the Lord has compassion on all that has been created. May the peace, love, and compassion of the Lord be with you now and always, as we pray together the prayer Jesus taught all his disciples to pray, saying, "Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
Our tithes and offerings empower ministry both within our congregation and in response to the needs of our community. Let us give thankfully and abundantly that we may be called God's generous people.
And now go forth in love to serve God and your neighbor in all that you do. And may God, who created all and loves all, Jesus Christ, who taught us how to serve all, and the Holy Spirit that allows us to follow Jesus' example in serving, be with you this day, this week, and forevermore. Go in peace.